You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
That means it is time for another KFUO history story here on The Coffee Hour. We have a fun character to share with you today.
What are you laughing at?
Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
That's called a live announce, which was, I think, kind of a trademark of Classic 99 and classical music here at KFUO. That was KFUO FM. And the voice you're hearing this morning, Ron Clem, former director of Classic 99 and host of Joy.
Joy. There are three syllables in joy, Andy. Joy. Come on. You got to get it.
We miss your voice. We miss your personality around here, Ron.
Well, thank you. I kept a lot of people laughing, and some of them aren't here anymore.
I know that you and I got to have a conversation about this a few years back, but I think it's time to revisit this conversation. Uh-oh. Where did your love for classic music begin?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. You must be a good interviewer. This could go on. How much time you got? This could go on forever, but let me just give you a couple highlights. I do remember my grandfather, who was a great lover of classical music and great sacred music and quality music, never mind. But he loved great music, and he had an old, well, first he had a Victrola, but then he had one of the early phonographs that played both 78s. And by that time, this was late 50s, early 60s, they had LP records. So now, wow, you could get 20 minutes on a side and play 20 minutes at a time. So he had one of these, and he had it in his front room, is what they called the living room.
That's right. That's
what we called our living room.
Shotgun house, they had a front room.
That's right.
And he had that, and we'd go there for Sunday dinner regularly. And then after dinner, he'd go and sit in the front room and put on his phonograph. And I was listening because I was there, and what else was I going to do? There was no YouTube. So I'm listening to what he's playing, and he's playing some of the great hymns. And then he puts on some of his favorite classical music. And I discovered early on that the best place to listen to this phonograph was on the floor underneath it. I don't know if you remember this, but these old things had a speaker that went down below it. It was on long legs, about waist high or higher. And so as a kid, I would just crawl under there and listen to it. And I still remember to this moment, I don't know why this came up, but I just remembered Schubert's Eighth Symphony, the Unfinished Symphony, which starts in the low strings. You know, and down below. And then the violins come in. And wow, this was fascinating. I loved to listen to it. But mostly what I heard was... Right? Because he had played it so much that all you heard were the scratches of the record. But I was still fascinated by it. I just loved it. And the other funny thing I remember about Grandpa Clem was he had Handel's Messiah. But it was in German. Mm-hmm. So you get to the chorus, "For unto us a child is born," and you get to that line, "And something, something, Namen, wunderbar," you know, and I just loved it. It was just so cool. But those are some of those early childhood memories. So I think you learn about these things and you don't know it. You don't realize it. I went to Christian school. We were very strong with music in the Christian grade school. Started playing an instrument, sang in all the church choirs, a children's choir, and then later on youth choir, and then blah, blah. And in high school, marvelous music training. It would take me the next 20 minutes to name all the people that really helped instill a love for great music. You call it classic music, and that's really true. It's classic, and it's classic for a reason, because it's passed the test of time, right? But so are the great hymns. And this is why it bothers me when they're not done well, because if they're done well, they are true classics. And those two things just were very much part and parcel of my upbringing, and just loved it from an early age.
And I would say, Ron, that you kept that going with Classic 99. I would say, out of all the people who were there, and then we had wonderful announcers, but I knew that that Christian love for God, no matter what pieces were selected, whether they were secular or Christian, if Ron was doing them, they were telling a story. They were giving us a message.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. But it does reveal a little bit of the of perhaps the problem, which is this dichotomy, this division of the sacred and the secular. I never grew up that way. I didn't think of life that way. I mean, if it was beautiful, it reflected our Creator. And it didn't matter whether it had absolutely perfect theology in the text or no text. It was beautiful. And so this made it maybe easier for me to do it that way. You know, in terms of Classic 99, and we're jumping way ahead now, but there was this idea that, well, Classic 99 does the classical music and secular programming, and KFUO AM does religious programming and Bible study and all that kind of stuff. Well, of course, it there was a time when there was a division that could be noted. But let's get real here. Let's remember that there was only one KFUO, founded in 1924 by visionary people who used, in their very first broadcasts, classical music. This was their vision, was to create beauty and to promote it and present it and preserve it. And it wasn't until in 1948, when KFUO FM, these were visionary people. Nobody had an FM radio. What are we wasting all this money to put an FM? It was expensive in those days to have an FM frequency and an FM transmitter. Why? Nobody has a... But these were visionary people because they saw the potential in it. Because now the mission of KFUO could be carried on after dark. Remember KFUO, a dawn to dusk station, mm-hmm. because they were protecting, remember the FCC and regulations. I don't know if they regulate anything anymore, but you know, they were protecting KOA Denver. Mm-hmm. And so they had to go off the air when do you go off the air? At dusk, right? Or at sunset Denver time, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
That's it. Well, these people say, okay, now we can keep going. The ministry can continue into the night. And so the programming on KFUO AM and FM was identical. In those days, we called it simulcast on both stations, period, until it was time for the AM to go off the air and then the FM continued. This was one entity. It wasn't two. Along came, remember the FCC we were talking about? Along came the rules that said, oh, no, you can only simulcast X percentage of the time. And it wasn't very much. It was pretty low percentage that you could simulcast. Well, again, visionary people, and I'll mention Paul Devontier's name now, but they said, you know what? Here's our opportunity to take our ministry and break it into two different parallel areas where we could go. One was talk, which worked well on AM radio. Mm-hmm. The classical music didn't work very well on AM radio because of the nature of the physics of it. Mm-hmm. And we'll focus more on the classical music on the FM side. Well, now this entity is born, and I came along and coined the phrase Classic 99, and everybody thought, oh, that's wonderful. Well, it was easy. I mean, come on. So I'll take credit, but for nothing, right? So that's how that happened, with this two-pronged approach to one ministry. That's how I viewed it all the time. And how much of a tangent are we off on? But anyway, that's kind of how I've felt it all along.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, you mentioned we jumped very far ahead, so I'm going to reel us back in to a little previous history.
Sarah, reeling me back in is a lifelong proposition. Just ask my first wife of 51 years. who's probably listening right now and going, oh, geez, somebody please reel him in.
You talked about your love of classical music as a kid. And then obviously you worked with classical radio, but how did that happen? What happened in the middle of what happened that made classical music into a career for you?
I love this question.
Reeled you back in.
I loved sports and have, I mean, since a kid, you can't grow up in the South Side of Chicago and not like,
oh,
and not
you're
and,
one of those people.
Oh my goodness. I was one of the few Cub fans on the South Side. So, but I loved it. But what I loved the most about it were the broadcasts. I loved to listen to now Hall of Fame broadcasters in Chicago in the 60s, even late 50s, 60s. And these people were, you know, off the charts terrific. And so I would watch, I would listen. Well, it wasn't so much TV, it was mostly radio. And I would listen to this and I would just get fascinated. And then, boy, I am really undressing here. But in high school, a couple of guys and me would do faux play-by-play of basketball games primarily, because that's what Ileana Christian High School did more than anything else. They didn't have a football team or anything. So we'd go to the basketball games and I'd steal one of my mom's pink hair curlers, stick it on a pencil, and we'd fake broadcast. Oh, come on, Andy, don't you laugh. You probably did the same thing. So anyway, so we're doing these broadcasts. Listen to me. Can you hear the quotation marks? We're doing these full broadcasts, these basketball games. And somebody saw us, and somebody must have sat close enough to hear us and told a beloved coach who became a principal, who was my wife's principal, and when she began teaching later, I mean, a lifelong friend. Still alive, by the way. We just saw him a few months ago at a reunion. But anyway, he thought, you know what? There was no videotape, right? So what we'll do is I'll ask these guys, I'll ask Clem, if he'll, I'll check out a recorder, a portable tape recorder out of the AV room, and I'll let him take it. Oh, this was unprecedented. You can't take these things home, you know, whatever. Well, I'll tell him take it to the game, and we'll let him do it on tape. Because, as he said, and I don't know if he was lying to me or what, but he said, this way I can listen and I can kind of reevaluate what happened and kind of re-picture the game, and I can, yeah. I'm not sure he ever did that, but so we would tape. Now this is one of those old 3M Wallensack, you know, tape recorders with 5-inch reels. So we had to change a bunch of reels, right? We couldn't get it all on one reel, reel to reel tape. They didn't have cassettes. That was a pipe dream. So here we are recording these broadcasts, faux broadcasts on these reel to reel tapes. Well, of course, this tape got... I don't have any. So don't ask me. I don't have any. But this got into somebody's hands. And it got to WYCA, Hammond, Indiana, your constant Christian companion. And they were doing some basketball games at the time in the evenings. And they asked me to be part of that broadcast. And so I started in high school doing basketball and sports broadcasts. And then they gave me a shift or two on weekends and overnights, a graveyard shift in high school. My parents were, okay, buddy boy, but your studies come first. So, you know, I was a balancing act, which didn't exactly balance, but but that's what that's how I got into broadcasting. So now, are you beginning to visualize what's happening here? I have this great love for great music. I say great music because I want to limit it to classical, but quality music and this musical training and this absolute pull to broadcasting. Well, in college, my parents said there are three Christian colleges that you're allowed to go to. One of them had a radio station. Guess which one I went to. And so at Dort College, now Dort University in Northwest Iowa, that's where I really honed these skills. And it gradually moved away from sports. Well, I did sports there too, a lot of it actually. But this gradually moved into more of a you know, fine arts and musical broadcasting career, and that's kind of the starting point of it.
So you could really see God directing in all these ways what was happening in your life to bring you to us at Classic 99.
Think about this, Joni. Paul Devanteer put an ad in Broadcasting Magazine in 1977. Because remember, they had just split the AM and the FM. Now we have a full-time FM classical music station and nobody to run it. And Dennis Storz was trying to pull all these strings and make it all work. And they needed someone to come in and help with that. And so they put an ad in Broadcasting Magazine and it specifically said, religious radio station. These are blind box ads. I don't know if you remember the blind box ads. They didn't say who it was for. They didn't say where it was. These are these industrial magazines, right? So religious radio station seeks classical music director. Well, it was like manna from heaven.
Yes.
This was my calling. And I immediately applied. Then I was offered the job and turned it down because Isla was pregnant, and the timing was just terrible. But then they never filled it for about 6 months or so, and I called them back and said, is that job still open? So then we came here in 1978, and that's how that happened. Did that answer your question, Sarah?
I think so.
I doubt it.
We're going to answer more questions in just a moment. I think this episode should be called Broadcasting from Basketball to Bach.
There you go.
I love
it. What a great title.
Mark that down for February.
We're talking with Ron Klim, former director of Classic 99. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
And I'm Ron Klim.
We are in our KFUO history series, and Ron Klim, former director of Classic 99 and host of... I can't say it with three syllables.
Come on, Andy, now I'm going to teach you. Now you try it.
Host of Joy.
Pretty good. Pretty
Joy.
Good. You do. It does come from your eyebrows.
Okay.
And you know, through the top of your head, Joy. But
it's all in the eyes.
Yeah, there's
all
in the eyes. Yeah, but it also comes from the diaphragm. Mm-hmm. Joy.
But you can hear joy as you're saying it.
You know, that's kind of.
We had to trademark the sound, not just the image, but the yeah. sound too.
Exactly.
But I you know, I don't want to get off on. You've got so many questions you want, and you should answer. But just let me say this: it pains me to see people who go through life grumpy. And when stuff doesn't go right, look, if you don't show joy in your life, you're missing out. And of course, inner joy is where it comes from. And it's very deep within. That's
yeah, absolutely.
That's my confession.
And that became a program. That concept became a program. And you got to be a part of it. Now, I know that there's an interesting history. There was a program, and then some folks left, and we still wanted to have that program. How did you get involved with this program?
We meaning KFUO.
Correct.
Yeah, when it lost the actual production of it, but retained the name. And Paul Devanteer said, you know, we got to keep doing this. And so there was a whole process. Actually, my friend Jim Connett was the first host for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Well, not very long, but I wrote the show and then began hosting it early on in that chapter of the life of Joy. I loved doing that because it was the music that was so dear to my heart. By that time, I had already gotten involved with some choral music organizations. Today, I'm still singing, believe it or not,
as a septuagenarian, the oldest, probably one of the, I think I am the oldest member of the Bach Society of St. Louis, an organization that was founded, by the way, by William Heine, who was music director at Concordia Seminary at the time. That's how the Bach Society got started. You know, life comes full circle, doesn't it? There's always connections. But anyway, I've always loved the great choral classics and sang them in college and beyond. And it was just such a thrill to put a program together featuring these great choral classics and put them in a classical music format context. Because now, of course, KFUO FM had become Classic 99 in a classical format. And so we were doing this program, and so we were off. We had a very unique opportunity to let the text speak, and of course, a host who wouldn't let it go and would make sure that people understood what was being sung and why it was so important and why it was so meaningful. And so that's what we did with joy, and that was such a thrill to be able to do that show for all those many years.
And it was a listener favorite. I mean, everybody wanted to hear Joy, tune into Joy.
Yeah.
And I think what you hit on was a key thing. You explained what the piece was about, who the person was, who wrote the music. You gave that in depth instead of a piece of music putting on the air that somebody starts singing and you're saying, the music's beautiful, but what are they saying? And they want something with it. And that was really important with that music.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because Dr. Heine, when he started the Bach Society, believed that all the music should be done in English because the text was vital to the understanding of what this music was doing. You know, there's one problem, and that is so much of the time this music was in another language. Of course, in Bach's case, it was German, and Bach was a genius at applying the syllabification to the music. I mean, it made a huge... And now you put it in English, and it's literally lost in translation.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, now, in the 21st century, all we use is supertitles or subtitles, and we're done. We got it. We figured it out. So it was important to relay to people, this is what they're singing. This is what's important. This is why it's meaningful to me. Yeah. And sorry, Joni, but you know me. I couldn't do it any other way.
I know. That's why I said you did a great job at it.
We've got about 2 minutes left.
What?
I know already. You talk a lot. I don't know.
You have good stories.
I haven't started the stories.
What did you enjoy most about your time working with Classic 99 and Joy and all of these things? I'm sure you have some favorite things.
Oh well, yeah, all the music and all of that. I mean, it's obvious. But what was the most memorable to me now that I've been away from it for so long are the relationships. Life is about relationships, right? And look at us. Here we are. We have this wonderful relationship. We haven't seen each other in a while, have we? Better confess. No, we haven't seen each other in quite a while. And here we are. These relationships run deep. Well, I was able to have, thankfully, through God's divine providence, I was able to have these magnificent relationships with people that this kid from Chicago would never have dreamed of having. Beverly Sills, Itzhak Perlman, Leonard Slatkin, you know, and the list goes on. And we had these wonderful talks with these people that are in the history books, you know. And Yeah, it was. It's the rich relationships. And then, of course, all of my colleagues were just so terrific. I couldn't wait to get to work, to hang out with people like you. Imagine that.
People who love great music.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm in good company.
Yeah, that's true.
Our guest today, Ron Clem, former director of Classic 99 and host of
Joy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.